Du lytter til Hestedølærerne. Podcasten for dig, der er dølæge eller veterinærsygeplejerske og arbejder med heste. Mit navn er Emma Thomsen. Jeg er dølæge og arbejder som konsulent for Børinger Ingelheim. I Hestedølærerne taler vi om tilstanden og sygdommen, der kan ramme heste, men vi tager også andre emner op, som er relevante for dig, der arbejder med hestesundhed. Denne podcast er lavet af Børinger Ingelheim, og med denne podcast ønsker vi at give noget tilbage til dig, der arbejder med hestesundhed. Vi ønsker at tage emner op, som er interessante og relevante for dig, og hvis du har forslag til emner, du gerne vil høre mere om, eller tips til en gæst, du gerne vil høre, så tøv ikke med at kontakte os. Mine kontaktoplysninger finder du i podcastens beskrivelse.
So, welcome back to this third podcast about objective gait analysis. In this podcast, we're going to talk about how to involve the horse owner and also a bit about how to use objective gait analysis in rehabilitation, and maybe also look at the possibilities to use in prevention of lameness and abnormal gaits. My name is Martin Osterwall. I'm here with my colleague Emma Thomsen, and today we are very lucky to have Achje Hardeman with us. And Achje, would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Martin. Well, I'm also an equine veterinarian. I studied in Utrecht in the Netherlands and moved shortly after to Germany, where I worked on one of the biggest referral hospitals from Europe, doing orthopedics and gait analysis. And that's where the story of gait analysis started in my life, because I did my PhD on the clinical application of gait analysis in a clinical setting, so in a commercial setting, at the same time doing clinics and working with it on a daily basis. So that's where my main focus has been and still is, because now I'm working part-time for Slape, working on developing the application for gait analysis, and part-time working on EGAS, the Equine Gait Analysis Society, organizing education around gait analysis.
Thank you, Achje. I realize we have the real expert in the studio today, so I'm very much looking forward to hear your perspective on this. If we start off and looking specifically at Slipe, how do we engage the owners? How is owner participation possible with Slipe?
Yeah, I think Slipe is the only one who has that possibility at the moment by giving you the option to really invite owners and thereby being part of the entire journey, no matter where we're talking about lameness exams or just regular checkups, because they can also record their own horse around the world. It doesn't matter whether they are at home or they are on competition or traveling with the horse for rehabilitation. They can follow it 24/7, and these recordings end up in the account of your veterinarian automatically. So of course the veterinarian is still in charge there, and I think that is important, because you want the vet to do the interpretation, but you can really collaborate closely both with the owner, but not only with the owner, also with a trainer or with the farrier or with the physiotherapist, like the whole team around a horse, to keep a close eye on it and increase the chance on success.
Okay, so you mentioned monitoring of the horse. Emma, do you have any experience with this, pre-competition or pre-purchase use, even with the objective gait analysis?
Well, yes, mostly in pre-competition situations where we had looked at horses a couple of times before starting. And it gives you very good information about the horse's status, if you've been training it too hard close to the competition and so on, and you can see subtle changes and you can adjust if there is anything you're suspecting, like a strain, or you need to change something with the farrier or whatever. In pre-purchase situations, I know Ahia has something to say about that, right?
Yeah, I think maybe start from a research perspective. We did some research on the use of objective gait analysis during pre-purchase exams. So really comparing the visual examination with the objective data. That was a lot of fun, but also interesting to see that there is actually a good agreement between the two. And of course, there's no black and white cut of value to say this is acceptable and this is not. Neither is there for the visual exam. So I think if that is what you are hoping for, then this is going to be a bit a disillusion. But it is a part of the puzzle that we can really use during the pre-purchase to look at the data to see, hey, does this agree with what I saw visually? Or do I have to have a closer look? Is there something going on that fits to the history, to the anamnesis, to medical records that I already have? So I should keep an eye on that. I think if you look at it as a part of the puzzle, it's really, really helpful, and it already saved us in quite a lot of situations. So that is directly also from a clinical perspective. And like you just asked, Martin, pre-purchase exam, so to speak, it can also save you a lot of time, because a lot of horses are sold around the world. Then people want a pre-purchase exam. They want to do it with a vet that they know, or preferably their own vet, which has to travel, or the horse has to travel over a longer distance. Whereas if you just invite these people to do a recording, at least that's what I usually do. You just have a look at the horse already in the slape recordings, on the straight line, maybe on the circles, maybe under tack, because that's all possible. And you already have a good first impression of such a horse, and you can decide whether it's worth it to look at it physically, yes or no, while saving you maybe 3 or 4 hours. And a lot of costs for the owner as well, to do a pre-purchase exam and come to the conclusion that the horse is clearly lame.
Yes, I suppose you do. In our second podcast, Emma and Elin were very nice to answer the million-dollar question of if you have 100 sound horses, how many of them will be asymmetric on a slape test? And I think the answer was 70 plus. So with that in mind, when is the best time to do a baseline recording of a sound working horse, would you say, Achia?
I think the most important thing is to build an entire database of each horse, because one baseline is still one snapshot of a horse. Whereas if you monitor it over time, you can much more precisely assess small changes. So what is the best moment? Difficult to say, because when we look at very young horses, it's not so easy to trot them on a straight line and to collect high quality data, because everything goes with the quality of the data that you record, of course. But as soon as they are able to be trotted in hand and to trot on the lunge, and you do that on a regular basis, yeah, you have a perfect database of such a horse, which you can use for its future, not only for if it gets lame, but also for performance related issues, or for shoeing, or for a physio, or whatever.
So do I summarize that right? If I say one recording can't stand alone, if you have a subtle lameness, and it's more the differences between recording, the changes that you experience with a horse with a subtle asymmetry, that is more worth than just one recording.
I don't say it can't stand alone, but it's definitely worth much more if you have several recordings of an individual. And I think that makes sense because there are always small changes between days. We know that from research, over days, over a longer period of time. And if you want to know if these changes are clinically relevant, you need to know what this individual is normally doing, so to speak. Of course, we did research to look at between measurement variation over time. So we know on group level what variation we can expect. But as you can imagine, group level has a much wider reference range than an individual level. So if you know the variation of an individual over time, you can much better assess it in even more detail compared to you have to look at it and compare it to reference ranges on group level.
That leads me on to the next question, which is then, can you use this to prevent injuries? Do you both have experience with that?
Yeah, you can be, and especially if you monitor these horses on a regular basis, because if I have a very subtle asymmetry, it might be normal. It might be something that's coming up at that moment. But if I know the horse over time and I see that it never had that subtle asymmetry in that phase of the stride, in that limp, then I know I have to pay attention that something is going on. And it doesn't say that it is something serious, but it does say that there's something going on that I need to look at.
And Emma, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, so if you have a baseline, it's like having a fingerprint of that horse's unique movement pattern. And that is very powerful because horses aren't perfectly symmetrical by nature. So you have some that are quite asymmetrical, but it's normal for that horse. So without the baseline, we risk misinterpreting natural variations as lameness, or worse, we can miss subtle signs of dysfunction. But another thing I think is worth to mention is when you measure horses over time, it's important to use the same system every time, because it's hard to compare a measurement with Slape's and then take it to compare with another system.
I gather from all of this that Achje, you use Slape as a monitoring for rehabilitation of horses, and how do you use it?
How do I use it? Well, there are quite some horses that I see on a frequent basis. So it is something that I use myself if I see them, but I also invite owners, like we talked about in the beginning, to monitor them at home. If you don't have the rehab facilities at home and horses are rehabbed on another location, or maybe the owner does it at home, it's nice to still keep an eye on them, for example, twice a week. So then it is recordings from different accounts coming in to see how the horse is developing over time.
And do you have kind of a scheme you follow if the horse is in rehabilitation, when they change from one level to the next level? Is that when you monitor the horse, or is it more like from week 3 to 4 or something like that?
Oh, it depends completely on the horse, on its program, and also on the owner. But I rather see them a bit more often, and with Slape that is so much easier now, than that I miss something. Just for example, if I have a horse now and I make a plan with the owner and the plan goes over 3 to 4 weeks, for example, previously I tried to convince an owner to come back after 2 weeks so we could at least do another trot up, and now I just invite them and I tell them to send me a recording twice a week, so the interval between measurements is so much smaller compared to live measurements, which makes sense because live measurements are much more costly both for the vet and for the owner, as it takes a lot of time.
So 2 times a week, that's a really close monitoring of a horse in rehabilitation, but it's probably, in your experience, necessary.
Yeah, like I said, it depends a lot on the situation, but if you have a horse that you just started and you change the entire program, no matter whether we talk about training under the saddle or lunging work or exercises that they have to do from the ground, or they start with another saddle, or there are big changes happening in the program, the management of the horse. And I think those are the moments that you want to monitor very closely in order to be able to guide them through it. And if something is not going well, then I'd rather see it after 4 or 5 days than after 4 weeks.
Do you then, if we talk about disease or lameness prevention in competition horses, do you sometimes monitor them both before a competition and straight after a competition?
Yeah, I think both is very useful. Before a competition, to make sure where you are before you start. And also, like Emma just said, if something's happening and something's not going right, then you can still decide to say, hey, I'm not going to start with the competition because it is at risk for a bigger injury. So let's not go. And afterwards, to see how did it go? How does my recovery phase look like? How are we going to manage the horse in the upcoming days?
Do you, I know this is a difficult question, do you have any, can you see anything about your experience? Have you been better at preventing injury, or is the rehabilitation become better for some certain lameness diagnosis after you started using this recording system?
Yeah, I think so. I think I can already say after starting using gait analysis in general, because we all know that as vets, and even every human being is biased on what you want to see. Plus, you can work much easier together with colleagues, and that is specifically for Sleip, because you can share the recordings. If I have to look at the horse from a colleague, I simply look at the recording, so I know the clinical view of the horse, I know the data of the horse, and I can assess small changes. And these very small and subtle changes you were not able to assess previously, because it's too small for the human system to actually see and also to assess it on an objective, in an objective way. So yeah, I don't think it's a difficult question. Both from science and from clinical experience, we know that this improved a lot with gait analysis.
And Emma, do you have a comment on that?
I think after I started measuring, I could see, you know, just some simple stuff like, are we going in the right direction, and how fast are we going, and how fast can we let us move forward? I had several times where we had to say, okay, let's go back a little bit. But other cases where we said, well, it looks pretty fine. We could actually move up much faster than we thought. And I mean, that's good both for the welfare of the horse, but also for the training and for the owner's will to continue competing and train the horse.
And you mentioned earlier on how the vets could work with other stakeholders. Do you have kind of a setup of how you work with vets, farriers, might be a chiropractor or a physiotherapist, together with the owner in rehabilitation of the horse?
Yeah, I think that's also depending a lot on the situation. If you are in a big clinic and you have all your colleagues around you, like for example, how I did it previously with the farrier in the same clinic and the physio in the same clinic, the chiropractic work I can do myself, so that makes it easier. But then you have very short communication channels, of course. Sometimes these horses go to a rehabilitation facility further away, and then the vet is not always there, or there's another veterinarian doing the rehab than the orthopedic vet. So then Sleip can do a really good job in being the communication and documentation tool for the entire team around the horse. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. And can you maybe share a bit about how to share files in Sleip? Because you can share some files both with the owner and maybe also the farrier or a vet, a colleague?
Yes. So if you want to share the entire horse, so to speak, so people also recording on the horse and being able to see the data, you need to be in the same database. That happens if you are direct colleagues. Like I said, that's really nice if you work with multiple vets on the same horse over time. If you have vets from other clinics or the physio or the farrier and they also use SLAPE, then you can collaborate as such by collecting the data in one account and share the link. Or you can share the PDF, and sharing the PDF is a bit limited in what you share. Because you get an overview of the results and some of the metadata, but not the videos, for example. If you share the link, you get the entire exam. So that's the original video, it's the slow motion video, and it's all the data.
And finally, do you have a pitfall you want to inform about or warn colleagues about? Do not do this, or is it all smooth, or is it all coming with experience in the use?
Yeah, I think the biggest pitfall, in my opinion, is education. And there I am also a bit biased, of course, because I'm working a lot on them, but I see colleagues starting using SLAPE, and of course, especially SLAPE, because it's so affordable for everyone and so easy to use. And it looks like such a nice gadget. But there's so much science behind it, and you need to be aware of that. And I usually compare it to, like, for example, an MRI machine. You can buy an MRI machine, but you cannot expect yourself to be able to do the entire interpretation directly. You need to invest in yourself. And the more you know about it, the more you will get out of it.
And Emma, do you have something to share about objective gait analysis and pitfalls?
I totally agree with Achia. I mean, it's as we talked about before in earlier episodes, the lameness exam is complicated as it is, and SLAPE is another tool to help us clarify all the questions, but still you need all the information you see, you hear, the history and so on to make the whole puzzle. So keep yourself educated is a really good tip.
Thank you very much, both of you, both for your time and to enlighten us about the use of objective gait analysis involving the different stakeholders around a horse and especially the owner, and also talking about rehabilitation. We'll be back with a fourth episode of the team objective gait analysis and then looking into future perspectives. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tak fordi du lyttede med til Hestedyllerne. Hvis du kan lide det du hører, så læg en anmeldelse i din podcast-app, og glem ikke at fortælle dine kolleger om podcasten. Vi er snart tilbage med et nyt spændende afsnit af Hestedyllerne.